You're listening to 1440 in Fort Worth, Texas. For more information, visit 1440.com.
I have a quick story. We got a new dog a few years ago when I was living with my parents, and we were trying to name her. So my mom was trying to come up with these different names, and so we were brainstorming. It's Christmas time, so let's call her Holly. Let's call her Joy. Let's call her Peace. My mom's like, let's call her Rafa. And I was like, what? And she's like, you know, healer. And I was like, you tell a dog to heal, but you don't call him healer. And she was like, I think it'd be cool to call her Rafa. No, Mom, that's not cool. So she's Joy, and I like that a lot better. But just to let you know, that's when I learned what Rafa meant. I don't know what that means, Mom. Tell me what Rafa means. So hopefully you guys learned it a little sooner than I did. And it's not a good dog name, by the way. Okay. Well, last week we started a series, Who is This King? And we discussed what's in it for us, the body of Christ. And so we learned that God is a loving Savior. And through that, we had love and that we were saved. And so this week, we're going to discover more about who is this King by answering the question, what's in it for me? So tonight, we're talking about you specifically and what's in this whole story of this King for you tonight. On Sunday, Pastor George talked about one of God's names, Jehovah Jireh, which I mentioned earlier. And that means God our provider. So through him, we can have all things. He provides all things for us. Provide, who knows what provide means? Who could tell me?
Our needs.
Our needs, yes. David?
All things met.
All things met, yes. Anyone else? So for him to provide, we get all things and our needs are supplied. Yes, correct, Catherine. So the definition in the dictionary also means to make provision for our future. So he's looking ahead to everything. He's not just thinking about right now. He's looking ahead to what we need. And turn with me to 2 Peter 1:3. 2 Peter 1:3 says, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. So everything, that's all, everything we need, he has already provided and he has made available to us. Now this is all. Sometimes we think about, oh, well, when I'm believing for a car, he'll provide that. But I just need to pay for lunch today, so I got that covered. This means all things, that we're to look to him for every single step of the way. I told you guys a story. I think it might have been the leadership class. A long time ago, Tommy Williams, it's Miss Simbra's father, he would live each day believing God for everything. He would start every day from scratch, and he would believe for everything in his life. If I was to tell each of you today, get rid of everything you have and start from scratch, I believe that might be kind of a wake-up call for many of us. The thought of literally doing that would be more than a faith step. But that's what the Lord challenged him to do, and that's how he built his faith and built his family's faith to the ministry that he has today and to where they stand today. But not everybody, I think, would accept that challenge. But he wants us to live with that mentality that everything we need, he will provide. Turn with me to Philippians 4:19. And then New International Version, it says, his divine power has given us all that we need. Oh, sorry, that was 2 Peter. New Living. And this same God who takes care of me will supply all of your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us by Christ Jesus. So again, that's saying all of our needs, he's already provided for us. And that's when he's writing. He's going through some difficulties back then when he's writing this. And he says, the same God who's taking care of me right now, he's going to take care of you. And when someone can write from a place of being in prison or going through persecution and be able to say, all my needs are met, I'm not concerned about anything. And if I can say that from where I sit right now, how much more can you say that from where you sit right now? We're at a much better place to be able to not only receive, but to give back out, because we're not bound by chains. We're not in prison walls. We have the freedom to do that. And so how much more can we believe for him? Because we have the freedom to then do something with it. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. When we talk about provision, it's not just for what can Jen get and hoard it all in for myself. It's so that I can give out to others. I'm blessed so that I can be a blessing. And so that's what we're talking about tonight. It's not just about me, but what can I do for others? Turn with me to Matthew 6:33. And we will get to the point. I'm going to read it from two different translations. First, the New Living Translation. And he will give you all you need from day to day if you live for him and make the kingdom of God your primary concern. The Amplified, I think they have it up on the screen for you. I'm going to read 30 through 33. It says, if God gives such attention to the appearance of wildflowers, most of which are alive and green and tossed to and from tomorrow, into the furnace, will he not much more surely clothe you into a little faith? Therefore, do not worry about... I'm going to read from my notes because it goes really slow. Let me start from the top. If God gives such attention to the appearance of the wildflowers, most of which are not given, don't you think that he'll attend to you, take pride in, and do what's best for you? What I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax, to not be so preoccupied with getting so that you can respond to God's giving. People who don't know God and the way he works fuss over these things, but you know God and how he works. Steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provision. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all of your everyday human concerns will be met. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now, and don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up at that time. What really stands out to me when he says this is, don't get so preoccupied in getting that you forget about the giving. And sometimes we get so concerned about what we want and what we need and all those little details that we forget about the big picture or why we even need or want something. And so when he talks about here, if he takes care of birds and flowers, really think about it. If he can tend to those natural things out there, how much more would he tend to his child, to his beloved, to something he cares more than life? He cares about you guys. And so what does it say? You will have all your needs taken care of if you make the kingdom of God your primary concern. I've heard different people say, get your eyes onto Jesus. Get your eyes off the circumstance and onto Jesus. What does that mean? Don't look at all these little details, looking at what's wrong and what needs to be done, but say, Lord, what do you want me to do today and right now? Get your focus onto him. And when your focus is on him, he's going to tell you how to take care of certain things, or he's going to get it done when you're not even focusing on it, because he's that good of a God. But sometimes the devil gets us distracted. How many of you have been distracted before? You're in math class, you're not thinking about math. And then you go home and go, that silly teacher, and you don't say silly, but that's what I'm going to say. That teacher, they're not a good teacher. I don't remember anything from class. Well, were you paying attention in class? Or were you distracted? So many times, and I get it, I've had a bad math teacher, so I'm not blaming you. But I am saying that so many times we get frustrated that we miss something, or that we don't understand something, but what are we spending our time doing? Are we focusing on him, asking him for all the answers? Are we focusing on the people ahead of us in class who are trying to teach us things? Or are we focused on things that don't pertain to anything that's important? But when we focus on him and trust him, he's going to take care of those things. And the key in all of this, in receiving and believing for these things, is trust. How many of you have put your trust in someone and had it fail? A few of you? And then the next time when they say, oh, just trust me, you go back to, well, and you don't quite trust them. Well, the Lord has a pretty good track record. He's never let us down. And if there's something you're thinking about, well, I didn't get this, I'll say one thing that's really encouraged me is the term delay is not denial. Sometimes we don't get something we want when we want it, and we think we didn't get it and the Lord let us down. And that's not always the case. That's never the case. He will never let you down. He does all things in his time according to his great plan. And so sometimes we're not in track with that plan, and we don't necessarily see the big picture, and so we just look at, well, I didn't get the PS3 last Christmas, so he let me down. But what else did you get last Christmas? And were you supposed to have the PS3? Mm-hmm. But instead of saying, he let me down, think about how he hasn't. Trust in the dictionary says reliance on the integrity, strength, ability, and surety of a person or a thing. It's confidence. So we are to rely on the integrity, strength, and ability of God. That's putting all of our hope, all of our trust in His ability, because He can do it so much better than we can. But He's saying, trust me. It's not my job to figure out how He's going to supply my needs. When I have my list, let's do a Christmas list because it's Christmas. When I have a Christmas list and mom and dad say, what do you want for Christmas? Or grandma calls and says, what do you want this year? Mine just always gives me $50 cash. I know what the envelope looks like. She tries to disguise it with this big bag and sticks like the Costco-sized Jelly Bellies in it so that I think it's something really heavy. It's Jelly Bellies with $50. Last year it was Ginger Snaps with $50. But I know that grandma's always going to give me $50 cash. She never asks anymore. But what if I said, Lord, I want this, this, and this this year? I don't think, oh, well, I'm not going to get it from grandma because she always gives me $50. Well, mom and dad said they already got this covered, so how am I going to get that? Instead, we've given our request to God. We let go, and you believe for Him to bring that to pass. So many times we try to think about how we're going to get something, or we maneuver it and we manipulate it. So then really it's not us receiving, it's us kind of coordinating, how are we going to get this to pass? And that's by no means casting that care or believing Him for that to come to pass. That's doing some lip service and then doing your own little thing over here to make sure what you want is going to happen. But instead, what we can do is say, Lord, this is what I want. Hey, mom, here's my list. And trust that whether mom or dad or grandma or grandpa or best friend, aunt and uncle, Santa Claus, just kidding, no. See me after service. Not to be thinking how or who those things are going to get into your hands, but trusting in the why and the who. Because He loves me, He will bring my desires to pass. When I go online, I told you guys last week, when you buy something online and you pay for it online, you've already given them your money and you're believing for that to come in the mail. I'm not concerned how it's going to get to me, if it's on an aircraft carrier, if it's on a bus, if it's on a train. I don't care how it gets to me. I just want it. Just make sure what I paid for gets to me. But I don't care about the details. I just know it's going to get here. I trust the company. It's going to make it. So trust your God. When you give Him something, don't go behind the scenes and try to maneuver the plan B of, well, if I don't get it for Christmas, then I'm going to save up all my money and then I'm going to pay for it. Don't come up with all these plan Bs and Cs of how you're going to get something, because then your faith isn't really in Him doing it. You're just going through the motions. And so tonight we're going to talk about some different ways that He provides for us to build our faith, to open and expand our thinking of, okay, it's not just A, B, and C. It's not always mom, dad, grandma. That's not always how I receive. Those are resources, but everything that we receive comes from the Lord. There's not one thing that we have right now that didn't come from Him. And you could say, well, He didn't buy me this sweater. He provided for you to have that sweater. Breathing right now. No one else can provide that ability for me other than the Lord. The roof over my head. No one else could provide that but the Lord. Your mom and dad, your best friend. Only the Lord could have created those people. So the people we have, the provision we have, no matter how you look at it, all of those things come from Him. But so many times we go to the natural. Well, that's just mom. But Lord, I want You to bless me. I've heard a lot of parents tell me when my kid is saying they're believing for something, I don't guarantee that it's just going to come from me. I am a resource, but I'm not the only source. And so I've talked to a lot of different parents who have said, my kids have a list, but at the same time I ask them, what are you believing for? What are your scriptures? What are you standing on? Why do you need this? Have you had this discussion with the Lord? Because we automatically look to our parents as our provider. But they're just one of the most obvious resources that we have. But they're not your sole provider. The Lord is your sole provider. And I had to learn that growing up. Some of you upperclassmen might understand this a little better. But when we want more freedom, we get a little more responsibility. So that when we go out of the house one day, it doesn't just smack us in the face and realize, oh, I have bills due. I've never written a check before. Some people are like, a check? I use my debit card. Some places still take checks. I don't know how to do my laundry, my clothes are dirty, I'm gonna have, and you just have all these responsibilities that build up. But your parents are training you because at some point, like today in my life, my parents don't do anything day in and day out for me. They trained me up in a way that I can be responsible. But it starts with you guys at your age. And you think, well, I don't have any freedoms. Next time you ask to do something, that's asking permission for freedom. Whether it's as small as, can I watch this movie or can I go to this friend's house? You're given freedoms little by little every day. And those freedoms are opportunities for you to make your own decisions. And that's when you're learning about provision. When you get money this Christmas, you're gonna have to decide, how do I wanna spend this money? Does it go in the savings account? Does it buy what I've been believing for? Is that the Lord's route of getting something in my hands? But don't, I challenge yourself this Christmas season, as you have those wish lists and you have those things you've been standing for, don't already plan in your mind how you're gonna get those things. I challenge you to just say, here's what I'm believing for, Lord, and I trust you to get it in my hands. And I did that one Christmas. I told the leadership class on Sunday about something I was believing for. This is about my freshman year of college. And I wanted two things, but I did not tell anybody about it. I didn't tell my best friend. I didn't tell my mom. I didn't write it down on a wish list. I told the Lord, I want these two things, and I will know they're from you if I get those two things. One was a promise ring, and two was a cross necklace. I didn't have one. I wanted one. But I didn't tell anyone. And really, I wanted that promise ring to come from my dad, because I wanted it to be something that he wanted to invest into me and to have it be a covenant between him and me and the Lord. And then the cross necklace was something I wanted to symbolize and represent my relationship with the Lord. So that Christmas, my dad and I went to church together one day, and we got in the car afterwards. We were just going to go out to eat, and he said, I'm taking you shopping today. First of all, for dad to go shopping with me is like a big deal, because dad doesn't shop. He says, here's some money, go spend it, or tell your mom and she'll get it for you. He just doesn't do the shopping thing. And I was like, well, where are we going to go? And he said, we're going to go to the jeweler's. I was like, a jeweler's? I was like, what are we buying at the jeweler's? And he said, I'm buying you a promise ring. I was like, really? He was like, the Lord told me that I'm supposed to get you a promise ring for Christmas. And I was like, wow. So that day, he said, the only condition is that when you look at that, whatever I buy you today, I'm not going to tell you what it's supposed to look like, how big, how small, you have to look at that and know that it symbolizes the promises between me, you, and the Father. Okay, I can do that. So we went shopping. I can't tell you how many jewelers we went to that day. But by the end of the day, it was between two rings. One was this single solitaire that was gorgeous, and it looked like an engagement ring. And then the other was a diamond ring, but it was a cross. And so I was going back and forth between the two. And really, I looked at one and was just like, that's just awesome. But really, someone else is supposed to give that to me someday. And then I looked at the cross, and I knew that's what I was supposed to get. And so that day, my dad bought me that cross ring. And actually, a couple Valentine's days later, he bought me the matching earrings to that cross ring. But that showed me that Christmas that I did not tell anybody. And he had actually got me a promise ring before, but it's because I asked him for it. A couple years before, I was like, Mom and Dad, you guys need to get me a promise ring for Christmas. And so it didn't mean anything to me because I picked it out. I told them I wanted it. It was just kind of like they swiped the credit card so that I could get it. And so I wanted something that symbolized, knew that he heard from the Lord that that's what I was supposed to have and that it was from him, not because I told him that's what I need. And so it meant so much more to me to have that ring when it came from him, because that was what the Lord told him to do. And then that Christmas day, we went to see my dad's family, and my aunt pulled me aside and said, I wanted to give this to you. And I opened it up, and it was a cross necklace. And she's like, I don't know why, but this was what I was supposed to give you for Christmas. And my aunt that I knew of at the time was not saved, didn't hear from the Lord. She just had this intuition, this inkling that she was supposed to buy this for me. And so it just meant so much more to me that I said, Lord, I want these two things, and he made that happen. It wasn't me trying to maneuver it. It wasn't me putting it on lists or hint, hint, have you gone to the store yet, or check in the bags in mom's closet. I know you do that. Some of you even go as far as unwrapping them, and that's horrible. But anyway, I wanted to encourage you with that. Just when you think, well, I haven't put the bug in someone's ear, all you have to do is put the bug in God's ear. And he can bring those things to pass for you. And then the other few things I want to talk to you about real quick is those are some monetary things. He gives us money. He gives us presents. He gives us things that we need physically. But he gives us other things. Turn to Proverbs 2:1. It says, "My child, listen to what I say and treasure my commands. Tune your ears to wisdom and concentrate on understanding. Cry out for insight and ask for understanding. Search for them as you would silver and seek them like hidden treasures. Then you will understand what it means to fear the Lord. And you will gain knowledge of God, for the Lord grants wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He grants a treasure of common sense to the honest." Who could use some common sense? "He is a shield to those who walk with integrity, and he guards the path of the just and protects those who are faithful to him. Then you will understand what is right and fair, and you will find the right way to go." So what does he give us? He gives us wisdom. And many of you think, well, that seems like such a high, lofty word, like the Lord gives us wisdom. But if you read all these things, what results from wisdom? It's safety, it's answers, it's knowledge, it's common sense. I made a few mistakes this week that were, and this isn't to insult anyone, but they were very blonde moments. And I could have used, really, no insults necessary. I called myself silly, okay. But I did some very ridiculous things this week. If I just took a moment to think, a moment to pray and go, oh, wait, I can't withdraw cash from a Bank of America ATM with my Chase card. It's just not gonna work. Or I can't endorse my tithe check that I wrote to KCM. That's the wrong check. You know, I would do silly things like that throughout the week because I was in such a hurry, trying to do things real fast, seeking my own understanding instead of, hey, Jen, don't go there. That's not even your bank. Which in my defense, it used to be my bank, so I'm just gonna throw that one out there. But there's some things we do in our own wisdom and real fast. When we just take a moment and say, Lord, where am I supposed to go today? I planned actually my shopping trip around which Target to go to based on the bank that was on my way, and it was the wrong bank. But if I took a moment to think, Lord, where am I supposed to go and where do you want me to be today? He gives us wisdom and common sense and answers. Turn to Jeremiah 33:3. I'm going to read it from two different translations. New Living says, "Ask me and I will tell you remarkable secrets you do not even know about things to come." The New King James says, "Call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know." A lot of times we seek counsel. We call our best friend. We ask mom and dad, what do you think? What should I do? We even go as far as when you're at a restaurant, well, I don't know, what should I order? Only you know what you want to order at that restaurant. Because as soon as your friend says, order the hamburger, you're like, well, actually, I think soup sounds better. But we go as far to ask people simple questions, but we don't even think to ask the Lord about other more simple questions or even the difficult questions. We call our friend, well, what do you think I should do? What college do you think I should go to? Well, you should go to this one because I'm going to this one and then we'll be a lot closer together. And you start planning all of your things regarding the answers that your friends give you. When we should go to the Lord and say, there's a bigger picture here than being able to be within an hour's drive of my best friend. Where am I supposed to go to school? And he's going to show you these things. So if you have questions about your future, if you have to make decisions about what college to go to this year, am I going to go to work or am I going to go to college or if I'm going to go in the military? He has those answers for you, but we have to take time to ask him, not just ask our best friend. Or have you ever made those bets with yourself? Well, if this happens, I'll do this. But if this happens, then I'll do this. And there is no spirit-led answers received from that, tossing things up in the air, and if it falls here, falls there, a quarter. The quarter does not have the answers for you, heads or tails. Doesn't work. But if you ask the Lord, where am I supposed to go? What am I supposed to do? He's going to give you those answers. Another one he gives us is directions and guidance. Turn to Psalms 119, 105. It says, "Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light unto my path." And then Psalms 32:8 says, "I, the Lord, will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and I will watch over you." So he promises you that he's gonna give you direction. He's going to give you guidance. He's going to show you which way to go. He's going to light your path. His word's going to illuminate to you. But it requires us taking time to ask him about those things, to open up the word, to have those quiet moments with him. And then you're going to get those answers. You're going to get those things. And it's not going to be a drawn-out process. He can show you something just like that. Now, all these things that we've been talking about, wisdom and guidance, we don't get all those things just for Jen, just for Wesley, just for Joshua. We get those things so that we can then impart them to other people. I receive provision so I can provide for someone else. I receive wisdom so I can help give direction to someone else. And so this Christmas, it's not only important to know about our King and who is this King, but be able to know how to share him with somebody else, to share what we get from him with somebody else. It's kind of a cycle of giving. You hear, give and you will receive. Well, when you receive, then you give. I can't give what I don't have. And so not only do we just give so that we can receive, we give so we can receive to give again. And so it's a continued cycle that repeats itself over and over again. And when we do this, we need to caution ourselves. What should I ask for? Or what? Here are some questions to ask yourself. When you get something, first say, Lord, is this for me or is this for someone else? Because sometimes we get things, we automatically think this is for me. And an example of this is today someone said, hey, Jen, I have tickets to a play and they're for you or someone in 1440. So I'll let you decide who they're for. So today I've been thinking, Lord, is this for me? Is this for somebody else? Do I go? Does whoever this other person might be go? And so tonight on my way in, he dropped this name in my head. I'm driving and he just dropped someone in my head. And so I said, well, I don't know if they're going to go or not or if they're interested. And so I just picked up my phone and called them and said, hey, do you know about this play? Have you been thinking about it? And they said, actually, I want to go. I plan on going Saturday. I just don't have a ticket. And I was like, I knew I was supposed to give it to you. And so when I got that, my first instinct was, okay, where's the calendar? How can I plan it? Who else should I invite so that I can go? It was, Lord, is this for me or is this for someone else? And so I called the person back who had given them to me and told them the story. And they said, that's awesome because the Lord just said Jen. I didn't know what that meant, if it was supposed to be someone else, but I knew you were supposed to distribute how you saw fit. And so it's an example of getting something that's not necessarily for me, but I'm a distribution center for him. And so this holiday season, when you're out and about shopping for presents or hanging out with friends, I challenge you, think about, Lord, who am I supposed to give to and how am I supposed to give to them? Or if it's not just something tangible, is there someone in this Walmart that needs an encouraging word right now? Is there someone that needs prayer at school before this test? You know, we always pray by ourselves with our heads down, but is there someone else that might need some encouragement for this final that's coming up? And there's opportunity right now more than ever for people to be open and to receive from the Lord and from his people, which is you guys. And so I challenge you guys this week, think about something out of the ordinary that you can do that you haven't done before or you haven't done in a while, and then be prompt to do it and to obey him. And don't question, well, I don't know if I'm supposed to do this, give me a sign. Just be obedient. Last Sunday, a simple thing is we all have our seats, right? Like, I know where some of you sit. You always sit there. You guys always, like, I know where people sit, right? So I'm in church. I kind of have my section that I sit in. And the Lord pointed someone out to me on the other side. So it's in the middle of worship. And I'm like, okay, I'll go over there. So I walked over there and saw him. And all the way back, he pointed someone else out to me. So I just walked up to them, gave them a hug, and went back to my seat. Didn't think anything of it other than, she looks like she could use a hug. And in my inbox the next morning was this email from her telling me how she really needed some support that day and really needed encouragement, and that I have no idea how much that hug meant to her. And that she goes, I know where you sit, and I saw you come all the way to the other side of the room to come to me. And she's like, it meant so much that you would go out of your way just to give me a hug, because that's what I was needing today. And the back end of the story is this lady lost her daughter a couple months ago, and it was her only daughter, and her daughter was like 23, I think. And so this is the first holiday that they will be having without their one and only child. And so the Lord just pointed her out to me one Sunday. I don't see her very often, but that one Sunday, he's like, go hug her. So I ran up to her and just gave her a big hug and just embraced her and told her that she was loved and walked away. Didn't think anything of it. So you don't always have to write someone a check or buy something for someone. Just being obedient to giving an encouraging word. I didn't say anything to her other than I love you and hugged her. But that meant so much to her that she would then email me that day to tell me how much it meant to her. So be obedient to the Lord. Ask him, even tonight, is there someone here that needs encouragement? Is there someone I need to bless? And even when you bless people, you don't always have to let them know that you're blessing them. Sometimes you could just slip the money in their purse or inside their book at school or pay for someone's meal without them knowing about it. And that even shows them how much more that the Lord provides for them, that we're not his provider. And when you guys bless somebody, be quick to acknowledge him and to say, the Lord wanted me to bless you. Or every good and perfect gift, well, there's the scripture, whatever perfect comes down from heaven, acknowledging that that's who your source is, that you wanted to provide for somebody.
Fourteen40 is a ministry of Eagle Mountain Church. For more information or if you have any questions about what you have heard here, visit 1440.com or email staff@1440.com.